Welcome to Make Your Wealth Work, a practical show for builders, entrepreneurs, and anyone who wants to think like one. I'm Jason K. Powers here with Joe Pantozzi. You know, Benjamin Franklin once said, "You may delay, but time will not." So today we're going to be talking about the real cost of waiting and how to keep your dollars working while life happens. Joe, how you doing? It's 2026 already. Can you believe it?
Oh, man. I'm doing great. It's an amazing day here in central Pennsylvania. And I'm looking at that beautiful guitar in the back shelf. And I just wish I could play a few chords on that thing one of these days.
Strum a few notes. Yeah. We just got through the holiday seasons. You guys have a good one?
It was awesome. Anytime you put grandchildren in a house and 8,500 Christmas toys, you know, more or less.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Right. Yeah, we had a blast. We came through unscathed. Nobody got sick, really. Everybody, you know, hung out, had a good time. It was good.
That's and dozens of homemade cookies.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
That's good.
2026 is here. Time for that post-Christmas diet for many of us. You know, at least for me, I know every year I'm like, goodness gracious, what did I do? You got to go through it. We were talking about with the new year being here and how we kind of start looking back, right? This time of year is always very reflective for people. And we start looking back and going, how was 2025? How did things go that I had planned? What didn't happen? What am I going to do, right? The popular New Year's resolutions that may or may not happen. And yeah, it's a big time in that regard. Everybody, it's a good time for people to really just sort of stop and regroup and think, what have I been doing? What didn't I get done? What am I going to do? You know, and it's a great conversation to have with people. And so I thought this episode, that's kind of what we would dive in. You know, we get a lot of procrastination that happens in life. You know, I'm getting around to it. And here 2026 is already, and you're like, oh my gosh, how fast that year went by.
Well, you know, but also to help create a little bit of calm, because there's a whole lot of anxiety that goes on when people start to think about the need to create New Year's resolutions.
Sure.
You know, somebody said about shoulds, don't should all over me. You know, don't listen to somebody, what somebody else tells you, you should do for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You need to decide for yourself, you know, with your family unit. For me, that's me and my wife, you know, me and my wife and the Lord. We need to decide, you know, what's good for us. What worked last year? By the way, what worked last year? What's worked for the past 20 years? Don't throw out the old stuff, the good stuff, just because you see the next new shiny object.
Yeah.
And really don't strain yourself trying to come up with 50 different New Year's resolutions that you're going to break. That you're going to break in the first week.
Okay? Yeah.
So try to take it easy. I'm a poster child for understanding that life is too short, man.
Yeah.
Life is vapor. And at the end of the day, more is said than done.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And if you could accomplish a little bit day by day, you know, in a prayerful way after you've considered it and really decide that it's important.
Yeah.
You know, start to take little bites at our projects that you think are worthwhile for yourself, your family, your business, your ministry, your kids, your future. Worthwhile bites. Don't buy into somebody else's agenda for your life.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And here we are talking about financial excellence and thriving and generational wealth and putting all the financial pieces together. And from my point of view, this is probably starting off script. From my point of view, it's simpler than you make it. Mm-hmm. I see a lot of people kind of floating through our website and sending inquiries and is scheduling themselves through our Calendly or whatever they're doing to connect with us. And they're asking the typical shoppers questions. the some people call them looky-loos, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They're looky-loos because many of them are never going to make a decision. So in 2026, at the end of the year, they're going to look back and say, wow, I can really pride myself in the fact that I interviewed 45 financial planners and not one of them was worthy of me. Okay, great. Yeah. And that means you just wasted a year by not taking action. And I'm going to say it's better to take a good action than the perfect action.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no such thing as a perfect plan. There's no such thing as a perfect consumer. There's no such thing as a perfect financial company or financial advisor. We're all imperfect.
Yeah.
But man, you can make some amazing, positive, good, wealth building steps, because at the end of the day, you're not going to build wealth this year. You're going to start the steps to build wealth that will accrue over the next 5, 10, 15, 50 years. Right. And what you will want to consider, I'm not telling you what to do, what you may want to consider is establishing some habits that you can tolerate. Right?
Yeah. I mean, it's baby steps, right? It's one step at a time. It's start something, do something, even back on your goals, right? If you're setting lofty, lofty goals for your New Year's resolutions and you're like, I want to lose 100 pounds. I'm just going to pick, you know, that's the most common one, weight loss, right? I want to lose 100 pounds. You're like, well, how am I going to lose 100 pounds, man? That looks so out of reach. Well, don't just start with 5. I'm going to lose 5 and then set another 5. You hit that goal, set another one. Hit that goal, set another. But that's what you're saying, you know, even financial goals, you start something now, take action now and work towards that rather than, you know, Napoleon Hill once said, do not wait, that the time will never be just right. And that's mostly true, you know?
Exactly. So as far as good habits are concerned, we talk about the fundamentals, the building blocks. I talk all the time about a building, which I kind of shape as a pyramid, right? And the base foundation is protection. You need to protect what you have and what you will have. And that includes all kinds of protection tools, right? Your wills and trusts, your basic health insurance, your long-term care, your car insurance, your liability umbrella, all the things that protect your world. Life insurance should be part of that fundamental structure, right? You want to protect your family if something happens to you early. So that's the base level. We're only talking about a building with 3 stories, right?
Yeah.
The base foundation is protection. Above that is saving. And savings is something that I've spent a career teaching people about. And don't get me wrong. I work with people who make $7,000-$8,000 a year. I make work with people who make $7-8 million a year. It doesn't make any difference. Human nature is the same. No matter how many zeros are after your income or after your net worth, most people have trouble wrapping their brain around the savings element. And so there are several hundred thousand financial professionals trying to help people move the ball down the field. And the first play is establishing that pattern, that habit, that discipline of building up capital, building up your savings repertoire, building up your bond element. It's cash, it's liquidity, it's capital. That's the second element, savings. And then from there, the third element is growth, right? Then you can pick your poison. I don't care how you want to build your wealth. You want to build a string of McDonald's? It's wonderful. You want to build a string of convenience stores, gas stations, generic grocery stores, organic grocery stores, right? Anything you want to do, and you do it with consistency and with excellence, you're going to build a great wealth profile and a great path for yourself and maybe your kids to follow after you, right? We want to invest in the stock market, in Wall Street, in market type accounts, in alternatives, in gold and collectibles and art and crypto, invest in real estate. What we're talking about are the fundamentals, getting to the point where you have enough capital to sustain investments in capital assets. And so typically when people are contacting us, one of the first questions out of the gate, and we're going to get to the cost of waiting in a minute.
Yeah.
One of the first questions out of the gate is there, what's the rate of return on this thing that you're recommending? Well, wait a minute. Let me ask you a question. Why is internal rate of return or rate of return so important to you? Tell me what assets you've built up in your life today where you monitor the rate of return. Tell me about your savings account. How long have you been working? 20 years. How much money have you saved in 20 years? Well, you have to understand. Okay, right there, you just gave me the answer. Mm-hmm. The answer is, for 90% of Americans, nothing. I haven't saved anything. So why are we putting the cart before the horse by saying, what's the rate of return? Don't worry about rate of return. Worry about creating the discipline of systematic contributions to a savings type account.
Right.
And when you've got 5 years worth of income built up in that thing, then let's worry about rate of return. Let's get there.
Yeah, it is reprioritizing your perspective, I think. And even when I first got into this, the very first time I heard about things like the infinite banking concept, that kind of perspective was paramount for me. It was changing the angle, I guess, through which I was looking at things. You know, because I was that guy coming in going, hey, well, what's my rate of return on this? And it was that, well, how much money do you have? Well, I don't have any. Well, hold on a second. Let's back up.
Right.
Let's back up and see what do we need to change in order to have something to be asking that question appropriately. But there are those who walk in day one in this context and do have the money already. And that is the same question, Joe, what is the rate of return? You know, and I think there's validity to that given the nature through which we're generally taught to produce cash flow aside from labor, right? Work for income. It's taking a vehicle like infinite banking, for example, and understanding that that is not the final vehicle through which you answer that question, if that makes sense. That is a tool that you're using, the foundation maybe, through which your money flows. Because we always talk about that. We have to show you how to change the flow of your money. And by changing the flow of your money, you can create more opportunity to do various things.
And you can change the flow of your money by getting control of the banking function.
That's right.
Because for the majority of people that we're talking to, whether it's a lot or little, it said in Nelson's book, and nobody has ever disputed this fact or this premise that Nelson laid out, is that the majority of Americans are sending out about a third, he says 34.5%, about a third of their take home to outside lenders, toxic lenders, credit cards, finance companies, SBA, mortgages, lines of credit, HELOCs. They're sending out a third of their take home to interest payments. So nobody has told me what the rate of return has been on that money going out. And truth be told, it's not a rate of return. It's a negative rate of return, which is very difficult to measure, but we can measure it because we have calculators. So if you can take a third of your take home and start redirecting it to an account where you do your borrowing from a friendly lender as opposed to a lender who hates you, now you're going to start to make money, because instead of paying the average credit card finance charge of 28% nowadays, if you can have a lifetime source of capital at 4% interest only, for example, how much money would you save? And then, again, you can pick your poison. Pick any investment alternative you want. And I don't care what it is. Real estate, businesses, Wall Street, alternatives. The money that you save from not dealing with those toxic lenders who hate you, you will build wealth, and sizable wealth.
Well, and I think it's a great perspective when you talk about this debt. I think a great perspective for people to have is understanding, let's take, for example, someone who has, we'll just use a random $30,000 in credit card debt, and they're paying 28%. So there's pile number one. All the life going on and happening here and there, they're making their money, and then they're setting other money aside. They're going to handle this debt later. And the money they're setting aside, maybe they take a $30,000, maybe they've accumulated $30,000, and they're putting it into some investment vehicle. What's the rate of good rate of return? Let's say they're getting 8% on whatever it is. I don't care. Well, and then we are compartmentalizing our money in that regard. We're saying, I'm making 8% here. I don't care. I'm making 10% here. For how much? $30,000. For $30,000. Okay, how much debt do you have? Well, $30,000 in debt. How much are you paying on that? Well, 28%. Okay, let's net that out then. So your net is still 20% debt. So ask yourself the question, how much would you save if instead you attacked that debt first?
And remember, Nelson teaches us that it's not about rate of cash flow, rate of return. It's about volume of return. So if you take that $30,000 example that Jason just gave us, and we calculate it out, and we'll do that on a one-on-one meeting, because we can monetize everything. We can calculate everything. We can calculate lost opportunity cost, right? We can calculate future value, et cetera. How much is it going to take you to pay off that $30,000 worth of credit card debt if you're paying 28% on the unpaid balance? You may wind up paying two or three or four or five times that amount. Why? Not only because of 28%, but because that line of credit continues to stay open. Mm-hmm. There's the thing. I'm paying 28%. I've paid $800 a month for the past year. And gee, my balance didn't go down. It went up. Why? Because I kept on charging.
Yeah.
How many people are playing the credit card game? Well, I paid this credit card off because the interest rate was too high, whatever that means. And I started using this credit card because I got an introductory rate of zero. Great. How long was the introductory rate open? Well, 6 months. Great. And how long ago was that you opened it? Well, a year and a half ago. Okay. What's your rate now? Well, it's approaching 20% again. Where are we going with this?
Yeah.
We're spinning ourselves into a grave here.
Yeah.
Right. So it's not the rate of return. It's the volume of return. It's a negative return. We're sending money down a rat hole. And then at the same time, we're saying, you know, if I started a policy representing the foundation for this infinite banking concept system that you guys have, how long am I going to have to pay into that thing?
Mm-hmm.
See, sure. Jason, this is all wrapped around the cost of waiting. How long am I going to have to be diligent with my own money? How long am I going to have respect from my own efforts to create wealth? Because right now I'm working for somebody else a third of the time because my money is going to somebody else who treats my money with better respect than I do.
Mm-hmm.
How long do I have to pay on this life insurance policy? Well, I don't know. How long will it be before you want to have $1 million?
Sure.
In your account? Sure. Because right now you're building up $1 million in somebody else's account that you'll never see. So I'm trying to make it very clear. And I want to paint a picture and let people measure the dollars that they're being, that are being lost because they're not being accounted for. You know, when we talk about these four elements, we talk about income. Your income is your income. Can you create more than one source of income? In many cases, of course you can. Out of that income, you're going to have a certain amount of expenses. We learned in Nelson's book of this terrible evil called Parkinson's Law.
Oh, yeah.
But once I start earning more and more money, I start to look for more and more places to spend it. So as my income increases, so do my expenses. And my expenses really detract and hurt my net income. And that diminishes my ability to send income to create assets. And I'm only going to create wealth by creating assets. When are we going to get ahead of this curve? By having all of our expenses take over our income. If we never get past that obstacle, we'll never get to the point where we build up assets. Mm-hmm. We have to build up assets so that we can produce what? More income. And if we have our assets, new assets, creating wealth, producing greater income, hopefully passive income that we don't have to work for. Some people call it mailbox money.
Right.
Then we can use our income from our new assets to pay for our liabilities instead of our income having to pay for our liabilities. You want a new car? Build up a real estate portfolio that produces net profit from rents to you, and then go buy the car. You figure out whether you want to lease it, own it, purchase it on installments, buy it through your family bank. Let's worry about that a little bit later. Let's start building the system and understanding the elements of building the system.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a perspective amongst most of us, I think, is just in part human nature. It's overcoming that thing like Parkinson's Law, which we actually talk about, if you go back for the listener, a couple of episodes. And that can be viewed from this, I'm going to wait perspective. I'm going to wait until ... Eventually, I will get around to it. I've been meaning to. I'm going to I have this conversation almost weekly with people. I've been meaning to whatever it is in all situations. Matter of fact, I love this. Keep it here on my desk. When I was about 21 years old, I'm sitting at lunch with my uncle who was in the financial world. And I'm having a conversation with him, and my father had passed away a couple years before, so he was kind of my go-to guy for these kinds of conversations. But we were talking about what I was going to do with my life. In short, that's what he was asking. What are you going to do with your life? And I'm 21, and I was not really moving forward well, let's say, into adulthood. And I kept saying, well, you know, I'm going to do this, but I'm going to get around to it. I'm going to get around to it, da-da-da. And I must have said, get around to it 5, 6, 7 times in that short conversation. And I kid you not, he reached into his pocket and he flipped this thing across the table at me. And I can remember this like yesterday. And he flipped this thing across the table, looked like a coin. Now, if depending on how old you are, it's called a wooden nickel. And I picked it up and I have it to this day sitting on my desk as a reminder. And it has the word to it in the middle, T-U-I-T. Yep. And it's got a circle around it for the listeners. You can't see the video I'm showing you, and it says it's got a circle around the word to it, and it's around to it. And he flicked this thing across the table at me. I didn't know what it was. I picked it up and I'm looking at it for a second. He says, now you got one. Now shut up.
There you go. There you go.
And he was very just, now you've got around to it. So let's get to it, you know? And that was the point with which I realized how much I'm like, eventually I'll do it. I need to do that. I'll do it. You know, delays have dangerous ends, as they say.
For sure. For sure.
And
speaking of wooden little reminders, when I got into the insurance business, when you folks listening and watching were not born yet, 50 years ago, somebody gave me a little wedge of wood with a little metal plate on it. And it said, it wasn't raining when Noah built the ark. Mm-hmm. Now, yeah, you might think that's a little bit funny and you might think that's a little bit corny, but my wife reminded me last evening, why in the world would people listen to him when he was building this ark and they had never heard of rain, had never seen rain before? Now, see, we have a greater advantage than that because we know what the end result's going to be if we don't start saving like crazy people.
Yeah, right.
I mean, and if you haven't had the good fortune of having somebody beating you over the head for the past 20 years, reminding you to save, well, then you probably haven't saved much because saving is boring. Well, I had money saved up and then, you know, something happened. My car broke down. Well, guess what? Your car is always going to break down. Our cars are always going to break down. We're going to spend, you know, a couple hours in the emergency room at least once in our lifetime. some of us are unlucky and we're accident prone. And we wind up in the emergency room more than once in a lifetime. Things are going to happen. You're going to blow a tire. Things are going to happen. There is no negative outcome. There is no problem. There is no obstacle. There is no business challenge that cannot be at least helped by having more capital.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And our job, and I'm so grateful that I have a job where I get to remind people of basic common sense things, which are not very common. Common sense is not very common. I have the privilege of reminding people, you're going to have an amazing life if you could start doing a few basic things. Control your expenses, watch where the dollars go, and save like your life depended on it. And make sure that you save before you pay anybody. And can you imagine taking 20%, just take a number, take any number you want. Imagine taking 20% if you're taking home, take home, and putting it into an account that you don't touch for 10 years. How outrageous would that be? Your friends would call you idiotic. They'd call you stupid. They'd call you ignorant. Well, you could do a lot better than that. Where's your money? It's in a savings account. How much is it earning? 1%. And you just turn the tables and ask them, how much you got?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't have that much, but I'm getting a better rate of return than you are. You just proved my point. People are so obsessed with rate of return. But I'm sorry, if you have $1 million in savings account earning 1%, congratulations.
Because mm-hmm.
you are ahead of 99.9% of the population in this country.
Right. Right. Well, and that's a good conversation to be had, I think, is what then can someone do with that free cash flow? If you are responsible enough to sock away any kind of money, really, what can you do with it? And that's where we talk about changing the flow of the money. You know, yes, you can warehouse your wealth inside a literal savings account. You know, if you could do that, you can warehouse it somewhere else too, you know. But if you can't even put enough away to save, then, you know, we generally, like when we start talking about infinite banking with people, if you cannot save a penny, you're just burning holes in your pockets, money comes in, it's out, you're spending wild amount of debt, you have no real, it hasn't hurt enough to make the change, let's say, then IBC, for example, is not for you right now. You know, if it's hurt enough to want to make the change, we can make the change. You know, we can turn the ship around. Maybe you've created a cruise ship, so it will take a minute to get that thing turned. You know, maybe you're in a speedboat, you just started, you're on the wrong path, we can turn that pretty quick. You know?
And you know, we talk about using a properly designed life insurance policy as a foundation for your infinite banking system, right? The policy is not the system. The system is in your brain. It's a concept that you design and you model uniquely according to your needs, your family needs, your business needs, your kids' needs, your posterity's needs, the needs of your charities and causes that you believe in, however you want to create wealth and how you want to distribute it over the next 100 years. But I constantly have the same wisdom that Nelson gave me to share with others. Well, you're concerned about rate of return, but I can tell you that a life insurance policy properly structured will give you a schedule of guarantees, which does not exist literally on the planet in any other financial instrument. Now, if that is not a powerful statement, I don't know what is.
Right.
So if I'm telling you your rate of return is going to be above zero, can you guarantee yourself an above zero rate of return in the real estate you're investing in? No, you cannot. Can you guarantee yourself an above zero rate of return in a market investment? No, you cannot. Can you guarantee yourself a rate of return above zero in a chain of businesses that you set up? No, you cannot. And I'm not saying you should have a life insurance policy. That would be silly. I'm not saying you should have a policy instead of what we're teaching is that you can set up a life insurance policy, which capitalizes and finances and collateralizes all these other businesses. So go and take your shot. You will build wealth in all these different areas. And dollar for dollar, that's where your wonderful, outrageous growth will happen if you're consistent and diligent and you mind the store. And not or. And at the same time, you will have a guaranteed rate of return. Guaranteed, underlined, bold letters, contractually obligated by a multi-billion dollar insurance company. You'll have an above zero rate of return over your lifetime. So now you have the freedom to go out and make great gains with the things that you choose to speculate with, the things that will create wealth, the businesses, the investments, the alternatives, etc., because you have the stability of knowing my foundation is secure and solid. My foundation of savings will always be there. I'll always have a guaranteed source of borrowing. Who can say that if they're not using a life insurance policy? Your SBA loan is going to fluctuate over time. Your line of credit with the bank is going to fluctuate over time. Your HELOC is going to fluctuate over time. Gee, as you continue to build up capital, you'll have an increasing pool of capital that you could borrow against at current rates for new contract, 4% interest only for the rest of your life. No business owner that I've ever spoken with can beat 4% locked in for the rest of your life.
For life.
Interest only. So the elements that we're talking about are there. We can calculate them and monetize them for each individual situation. We can show you how to build it. You tell us how much you want to fund, and we'll tell you how to design it and how you can recapture debt, get rid of the toxic debt, and start building wealth securely and intelligently.
Yeah. And I think the key is doing something. Just like to set your resolutions every year is one thing. To act on them is another, you know? And start and baby steps. Some people are like, I could never. We give examples, you know, people starting policies and the large dollar figures that come up on some of these examples with people doing policies. And I'm say, hey, don't worry about the number of zeros. We'll help you set up something that's right for you and your situation that makes sense for you. And maybe someday you'll be looking at those larger numbers and going, I can't believe that's all I can do. But start something small, right? Because nothing grows more than what you've planted today.
And nobody has ever come back to me 10 years after we started a plan and said, you know, I saved too much money.
Right.
I didn't need to save this much money.
Yeah.
You know, speaking about the cost of waiting, you wait 5 years, you lost 20% of the value of any capital account because of inflation.
Yeah.
So we can address and we can approach the concept or the discussion point of the cost of waiting from multiple perspectives. If you wait, you saved less. If you wait, you lost through inflation. The money was eroded that you did build up. So the longer you wait, the higher you have to climb to overcome inflation all by itself. And the longer you wait, the smaller capital account you're going to have at the end of a given period.
Yeah. And even for those around you, even for your children or grandchildren, if you're thinking long range, you know, I love Warren Buffett once said, someone is sitting in the shade today because someone planted a tree a long time ago. And it's so true. You know, if you do something, no one ever sits there 10, 20, 30 years from now and goes, I wish I would have put less in. I wish it wouldn't have grown like it did. I wish I didn't have access to all this capital. You know, it's that kind of thing. And not to just be facetious about it, it's just, it really is true. It's, if you put the time into learning these types of vehicles, what they can do for you, and then apply it. Don't just be a habitual learner only. Apply it. You will see the results. You will never regret the results. And I guarantee that. I want to take a second and talk about the other sides of the cost of waiting. You know, we've been talking about just the money side a little bit. And other costs of waiting that people don't like to talk about, but I think need to be mentioned because it's life 101, is what else changes. If I'm waiting, I'm going to start, for example, a policy next year or 2 years or 5 years. And then, God forbid, I wake up tomorrow and have a heart attack. And all of a sudden, my options have just been sliced in half or less, eliminated, you know. And people don't like to talk about it, but it's life. We see it, Joe, you and I see it regularly, how life changes overnight for people, and all of a sudden their options have been eliminated. But those who have been able to act on it now, at least, and we have strategies to do this, lock something in that's cheaper for now, and then we could expand it later. But then you've got options. But there's those kinds of costs of waiting, or worse than that, death. Life gets cut short. We see it every day. You could turn on the news and see it in less than 5 minutes. Life gets cut short, and it's just a fact of life, because we don't know how long we're going to live. And so plan for today. Plan for tomorrow. Hope for the best, if you will. But life happens. So there is that kind of cost in waiting as well. I think that has to be considered in everything you do.
You can go to lifehappens.org and get a very simple, very accurate, very generic calculator. Because you might ask yourself, how much life insurance should I have? Now, you can answer that question in 5 minutes by having a conversation with us one-on-one, but you don't even need to call us. Go to lifehappens.org and get a simple bottom line. You can disagree with it, but at least you'll have a number to work with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of good things on there. I think it's a really good, you know, we're in the industry. And so I know I talk to people and they're like, yeah, but you're clearly biased. I'm like, I'm biased, but I also am human. I have a family that I want supported. I have been in firsthand situations where family members' life have been cut short or permanently disabled. I've seen it happen. I've seen finances devastated overnight and people lose everything. I've seen it, right? Because it's just life. You know, so why not position yourself the best you can for those various types of protection and buffer yourself a little bit, you know? This isn't, we don't want this to be a doom and gloom conversation or anything like that, but it's just life, right? And I think people are scared of having those conversations. It's uncomfortable, makes people squirm a little bit, but I think it's an important conversation to have, you know? And there is hope beyond that. It's not just, let's talk about all the bad things that are going to happen and how do we protect against it, right? That's why I love the infinite banking concept and utilizing properly structured whole life insurance, is because it's more than just life insurance. It's taking this vehicle that people originally perceive as just protection against death and understanding it and how it can be adjusted and used for so much good in life. In your life, while you're alive, you know, and it's great. Because I was practicing it before I got into it as a career. I was utilizing the infinite banking concept in my life, and I saw the benefit of it. And that's why I became really a, I'll say, an evangelist of infinite banking, to tell people, look, you guys got to hear about this. This is awesome, you know, and I truly believe that. So I encourage you, listeners, as we dive into 2026, If you are thinking about planting that tree, reach out to us, alphaomegawealth.com/podcast. Schedule a call with Joe or myself or both of us. We'd be glad to chat with you. And just let's unpack your situation and talk and figure it out. And then if you don't have the financial goals, let's help you set some. If you're just kind of floundering, we can point you in the right direction. If you're ready to jump in, you're like, okay, I just need overall help with my debt. And how can debt be done through infinite banking? This thing, infinite banking, you guys talked about. We can help you understand that or any of it, right? So just don't be afraid to call. Don't self-eliminate. Don't set the goal. Don't say one day I'm going to call them. Make today day one.
There you go.
And do that. And do that. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. This was Make Your Wealth Work with Joe Pantozzi and myself, Jason Powers. We look forward to seeing you guys next time.